This is exactly right.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Allman-Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Babs Gray, and I was born with an ugly Christmas sweater. It's called a labia. Thank you.
I'm Brandy Posey, and are you the toilet seat that gives me HPV? She whispered, knowing the time had finally come.
I'm Tess Barker, and chips is the best food group.
Absolutely.
And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep secret?
Neither can we.
For everyone, that's the fucking best. Come on, baby, it's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Ladies and ladies,
welcome to the show, everybody.
Oh, yeah,
we're revealing a lot of secrets in our opening, I have to say.
I don't actually have HPV, but every time I sit on the toilet seat, I'm like, will this be the day?
Also, you might have it.
I might. I just don't know. I think I only got one of the shots, too.
Show up.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah, we kind of missed the mark because it, like, came out. I don't know.
Yeah.
We're too old. It came out, like, at the tail end of our eligibility.
Yeah.
Anyway, cool.
Anyway.
Yeah, so that's fun.
Oh, my gosh. speaking of fun stuff.
Wee!
You know what doesn't have HPV? Our Patreon.
Such a good sell.
Ooh, yeah. Have Patreon. I don't know what a
make
V word
Patreon
is.
Make Patreon, not HPV.
Yeah. Yes. We are doing not only, by the way, I just want to shout it out in general because we always have really fun bonus stuff on there. We've got bonus episodes, bonus segments that are weekly. So much fun stuff. Starting at $2 a month, but also we're doing a special live stream for the holidays, Tuesday, December 12th. We're going to get together and, you know, put up decorations and get festive. So That'll be a live stream for all of our patrons. So if you want to check that out, jump on in at patreon.com/ladytolady. It's going to be super fun.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be a blast. We love like hanging out with you guys. And I will say we consistently put out more Patreon content than any other podcast I follow.
Wow.
And it's all really great.
So,
come on
we're
over.
Consistent motherfucking bitches.
Yeah, exactly. We're pros. You might not think it, but we are. We're
and I will say I was recently watching our 24-hour live stream because we're making some clips from it and remembering that we discovered a Mandela effect that hasn't been
talked
about, which is the dogs playing poker painting. Watching us go down that rabbit hole again in real time was just lovely. So please.
So insane.
Please. And that was an hour in. So please tune into this live stream because you never know what we're going to discover is what I'm saying.
That's yeah. There's a hole.
We have keys to the other schism in the space-time continuum.
Yeah.
On our Patreon. Yeah. Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Don't be fucking around. Be there.
No.
Yes.
What do we got going on, guys? We got some shows coming up this week. I'm going to be on Farts in LA on Friday. I have a few other shows in the LA area before the holidays.
Hell yeah. Last Picture This of the Year is Sunday, December 17th. Come on out to that. PictureThisComedy.com. Got the tickets.
And I will be doing 50 Worst Jokes, as always, sometime the week between us and New Year's. I don't know the exact date yet, but you know, 50 comics come out and tell the worst joke they wrote that year. It's really fun. I think we're having a dance party following it this year. So nice. Yeah, it'll be super fun. So just keep an eye out for that. If you're in LA, that really fun, crazy week between the holidays.
I do like that week.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Should we get to our guest? We had such a fun hang. So fun.
Yes.
She's so funny. Yes. She has a new album out called Weird Vibes. Please go download it, listen to it, stream it, do all the things. And enjoy our hang with the hilarious Jessica Seely.
Okay, I just want to let you know that my clap was slightly delayed after your clap. Oh, I don't know if that's because of Zoom or what.
It's Zoom okay. Always makes it look like that. So
okay,
yeah, I will say
a general idea.
The way that you did your clap is you put your mic down and then it looked like you just smacked your mic like it was bad.
No, I just clapped in front of it. I have a little clampy to put it to the table, but who has the time?
Yeah, yeah, you're all good.
I have a clampy, but it's really annoying and it always comes off.
Let's the problem with devices. You have to use them. Okay, let's you guys say serious podcast time.
Hey, I'll wait right here. Okay.
You're in it. You're already in it.
Yeah. There's no
wait,
waiting, honey.
Is this a video thing?
No.
Okay. Never.
We would never jump video.
I kind of
like
knew
that.
You guys wouldn't do that to me, so I didn't wear a bra and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No worries, Jessica. No. Don't worry. We're exactly. All good. This is a braless podcast. No one.
This is
thank
a
God.
Little,
yeah. I knew this would be a safe space.
Definitely.
Yeah.
This actually, my Spanish teacher and I had a really sweet, similar conversation recently where she was like, I feel like I don't have to like get dressed for my lesson with you. And I was like, I feel like I don't have to get dressed for my lesson with you.
Aww.
That's so cute.
No tienes ropa con tu, right? Something like that.
I don't have clothes with you?
Yeah. Yeah. Close.
We were talking about this. Jessica got on Zoom and she's using her boyfriend's Zoom and she had a blurred background.
Yes.
And I think, and she took it off and all it was just, it's like a closet.
Yeah. A nice closet behind you. So my question is, what do you think your boyfriend is hiding?
I think that it's just a general the thing is he's zooming in all the same places I am, so it's just like a general shame. Yeah. Or something. Yeah. It's like,
but we should say like behind you is a perfectly normal white background.
Yes.
Yeah. And
nice
I think
closet doors.
I think that has something to say about shame. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. Just let us see, you know.
Yeah.
I love that. It's so true. Because honestly, like, if anything, what you're hiding is probably even more vanilla than you think it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I feel like people who... I am a little creeped out by the blurred background. And
yes.
When people choose it, it's just... I don't know. It's like there can't really be much back there that you need to cover up, is there? Unless, yeah, you're just ashamed of being boring.
I think Jessica's boyfriend is ashamed of being boring. But
damn.
But
all that
I will say,
are you saying my white door is boring?
It's not.
Well, that's fine, but if he is covering
it up,
then the problem is covering it up, not the background.
The problem
itself.
Is covering up,
but
not the background.
I don't think he's ashamed of being boring, because I think I know him and his version of shame. I think it's like he's just watched so much porn. That it's like there's a part of his brain that needs to be blurred.
Oh, okay.
That's how he feels.
That's
he's
fair.
In that case, I encourage
blurring.
Yeah.
And that also tells me something about the people that have that are blurring on my other calls. I'll be like, porn addict. Got it. Yeah.
I think so.
Got it.
I will say this, though. Blurring is not, I just have certain things with technology that I'm like, I'm never going to care. I'm never going to learn. I'm never going to care. And blurring has been one of those for me. Mm-hmm. But like when we were balls deep in the Britney stuff, like before I had office space, I live in a really small house. And like I was on Good Morning America, like sitting on my living room floor. Like there was no good backgrounds, no good light.
Yeah.
Like I had to like mock up a bookshelf behind me because I was sitting on a pillow on my living room floor. So I understand if you have like a really small place that like there's no good backgrounds. I understand the blurring.
Yeah.
Right. Different circumstances for blurs.
What do you guys think about the blurring of feet on Instagram and stuff?
I haven't seen it.
I don't understand feet in general. Like, I don't. Well,
people are doing that, the pros, the cons. People don't jerk off to their feet.
Right? Yeah, or like make money off their feet, or you know what I mean. Like, it's like
I've seen it only a little bit, but yeah, I have seen it before.
I think we're playing too much into foot fetishes. I don't think we should give them so much power, but they do have power. They have power on the market. And
I didn't even think that. Like, are our feet just like floating? I just got another notification that I've been found on the dark web, by the way.
Oh,
my
great.
My bank sent me one today, and I'm like, cool, what does that mean? But I'm like, maybe that means that my pictures of my feet are
I mean, your bank account or your feet, which would you rather it be?
Exactly.
Like, take my feet feet every time.
I don't know
for my bank account.
that would be ideal.
I have to tell you guys, I've been struggling with toenail fungus for the past few years.
Oh my God, what happened?
Jessica, I'm so sorry.
You know, my dad has it. I think it's like a genetic situation.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
And it's very hard to get rid of. I have medicine, it's not really working. There's a pill you can take that I think is where it's going to end up, but it's kind of bad for your liver.
Yeah.
But my dad
but you don't
just
drink, right? So, like, that's the big thing with the pill, I know. You can't drink.
Right. No, I don't drink, so I should be okay, although I did drink and already probably fucked up my liver, but hopefully it's made a comeback. I don't know.
Like, livers are one of those ones that come back. I don't know.
That was one reason I quit, though, is like, I swear I was feeling like pains in my liver. I was like,
I think that happens. Yeah. That's a thing.
I was like, what's right here? Because this always hurts. And then people were like, that's your liver.
Yes, the liver has a unique capacity among organs to regenerate itself after damage. It can regrow to a normal size even after up to 90% of it has been removed.
Whoa, so, yeah, the liver.
Yeah,
baby.
Give it up for the liver, man.
Putting what the live in liver, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
What a little freak inside of us.
I know. He might be my favorite organ if we're going by, I don't know. He's up there.
Can I tell you guys, like, not to be, I don't want to be like mean to people that eat meat, but every time I hear about liver and onions, it makes me lose faith in humanity.
Yeah, no, that's gross. No one, don't do that.
Like, the fact, I don't want to meat shame people, but the fact that people eat liver is
I think you should liver shame people.
You should liver shame people.
Here, I don't, I'm going to add a different perspective. I've tasted liver, chopped liver, and it was really tasty. And here's what I say. It was chicken liver. It was really tasty. I don't eat it, but I used to work at a Jewish deli and we had chopped liver and I tasted it and it was really delicious. And here's what I'll say. If you're going to eat chickens and stuff, why would you not eat all of it?
Use all the parts.
Use all the parts.
Yeah.
So I think it should restore your faith in humanity, eating more of every, you know, it's better to eat a fresh organic chicken liver chopped than like whatever McDonald's is.
Right. I understand the concept of it, but I can't help but have the like fear factor element where I feel like I'm like Joe Rogan is making me dunk my head into a thing full of eyeballs. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think for me, and again, you're right, Jessica, like if you're going to eat, and they are probably eating liver in the chicken nuggets because I think that they just throw the whole chicken in the blender or whatever. But
that's the follow-up to the Eve 6 song that never really took off.
I think chicken nuggets are like all the parts of the chicken that they didn't use for regular stuff.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not good.
It's like.
Yeah. But for the liver for me is the fact that it's like the body's filtration system, like eating another being's filtration system.
Yeah. But here's the thing. Chickens don't really drink so much.
Yeah.
That's true.
I mean, they would if they could.
I'll tell you that.
I was listening to some like, I don't know, whatever thing about a doctor. And, there was a guy describing a doctor had to come on the podcast. And I don't even know why, but he was like, so the esophagus, which is the pipe that runs the food from your mouth down to your body. So I was like, how many times have you just had to describe a food pipe to people? Like, do people know what an esophagus is?
This is crazy that we're talking about this because we have all kinds of pipes. And then there's other pipes that are just like currently all of us on this call, like full of poo.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
All of us on this call.
I'm actively drinking coffee, so I'm adding to the situation.
God. We're all drinking coffee.
Yeah. Yeah, by the end of this, what is happening? I wish there was like a little graphic of
like
during
during fundraiser.
The podcast, what was happening inside of us. And by the end of the podcast, we're like, we're going to go.
Yeah, like one of those, like when on the commercial when they have the guy, like they're showing the guy's food pipe or whatever. That little red, like blinking light.
Oh my God.
Can I tell you guys that I had my website domain snatched for a few years. Whoa. And it turned into like a Japanese indigestion medicine website. It was jessicaseely.com, but then it had all these graphics of like, and they were so cute because it was like angry stomachs and angry intestines and stuff. Cute little That's cartoons. Cute. I was that, like, so this is better.
It just got usurped by a Japanese digestion company?
Yeah, it was better than my website. But yeah, people do that. They wait for your domain to like expire. Oh, yeah. And then they grab it and then they are like, you want it back for $2,000?
Assholes.
And I'm like, I don't really think that my domain is worth that. So I just
a new domain?
I waited them out. I had a WordPress like .wordpress for a couple of years and then they let it expire because they realized that jessicaseely.com is not going anywhere.
It's not moving the numbers that.
So I ended up getting it back after they gave up.
Yeah.
I play the long game in general.
Yeah.
That's good.
I prefer the long game.
Somebody tried to do that with us with ladytolady.com.
Oh yeah.
They tried to they were open to negotiations for $2,000 or more.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can find all our info at ladytoladycomedy.com, everybody.
ladytoladycomedy.com. Could we arrange a phone call to discuss the maximum offer you are willing to make for ladytoladycomedy.com? Wow.
No.
Now I have to see if this actually, I got to see. I don't think they ever used it. I don't think there is any digestion graphics or anything on here.
I mean, lady to lady could be a dicey search, as we all know. So
we are familiar with. Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, yeah. It says it's available. So it might be our time.
Man. Yeah. You waited them out.
Hell
too
yeah.
Bad. I wanted to call him for you, Eli. Just like some computerized, like, you have what we want and we are willing. Meet me
Hello.
At the phone booth
you have been
at
found
2 o'clock.
In a database.
Your domain, stinkybutts.org.
I was like, I listened to this one podcast about how like 1-800 numbers, that's what they used to do back in the day, is they would just think of every combination they could of like who would type in the letters like 1-800 like 77 horny or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they would buy all of them just in case anybody ever called them, but then it would redirect them to like medical like devices. That's some shit where people got rich off of stuff that you're just like, okay, like I would have never thought of that, I guess. Congratulations.
Man, who got 1-800-69 horny? I mean, that's the
me. Yeah. That's the one I bought.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Barbara was a future investment. That's Barbara's crypto.
At 3 years
just buying
old,
up horny
yeah.
800 numbers.
We were so bored back in the day before smartphones and stuff. We just would dial numbers.
Oh, yeah. Do you guys remember calling time?
Oh, yeah.
The
time. Was it the was weather just, and the time the same or was the time its
I
own?
I think they were different numbers. But we would call time just for fun. Because also before smartphones, there wasn't like a agreed upon time. You had to call someone.
Yeah, your watch could be weird.
To find out what time it was.
Man, how many arguments got settled that way?
We've really gotten to like older millennial conversations here, but I don't think anything has made me feel more old than calling time.
I called time itself.
What happens if you call it now? Is the number disconnected for time?
Can you still call time?
Oh, it's got to be around still.
Oh, man.
That's a legacy.
I'm fucking time. I'm still here.
Yeah.
But you can text me now.
Yeah, text time. He's really with the plan. With the
okay, the first thing that came up was from the AARP.
Oh, great.
And that says, despite heavy smartphone use, you can still call for the time.
Oh, thank God. Is it somebody answers and goes, hello? Oh, or did you mean
it? Wait, this
call?
Is someone, one of my first results was in the Reddit subreddit, ask old people.
That's
all you get the time yes, and temperature. Yeah.
So Katie just sent it to us. Okay, so for everyone who wants to call time, call 202-762-1401 and you'll hear a pleasant ticking sound followed by the announcement of the exact time delivered in an old-timey broadcasting voice. So if any of you younger people want to know what we're talking about,
I mean, we're doing this right now.
1401, yeah. Give them a
202-762.
Oh my God. Are you going to call it?
Are you calling?
Yeah, we're calling.
Oh my God.
Let's see.
Really excited to call time.
Hello, it's me time.
Wait, did I misdial it? Oh no.
No, first it's
I knew time had stopped. Time is busy. Man.
Damn it.
202-762-1401. That was the right one. Wait, here's another one. 901. This is so stupid. 526-5261. That one sounds right.
Let's see. It'd be really funny if they're all disconnected.
If you already have an answering service and want better rates with free
service. Oh, no. All the time is gone. Oh,
what if, like, all we have to do to fix, like, all the problems in the world, like, it's like we've gotten on the wrong timeline or something like that.
Maybe that's what happened.
And all we have to do is find time and reconnect them, and then everything will continue on a proper timeline.
Whoa! Like, this what is if our the time this is our Avengers needs to be unplugged movie. And plugged back in?
I would love a lady to lady movie like this, where you guys are like, because you guys do solve are involved in some crazy fucking problems.
Yeah.
It would be such a cute movie. Just like, you guys, time is in trouble. Ah,
we gotta go save time.
Well, and then you know what? Because I have a joke about how Prince didn't believe in the concept of time at all. So we would have to like find Prince at some point, and he would explain to us that would be the end of our movie, where he's like, yeah, oh, this doesn't even matter, baby.
And then, also Eckhart Tolle.
Yeah.
Have you ever listened to the Power of Now audiobook? He's like, if you ask an owl what time it is, the owl will say, the time is now.
That's such a good Eckhart Tolle impression. And yeah, I've listened to a couple Eckhart Tolle audiobooks, and like, speaking of time, he sounds like the robotic voice you heard when you hear it. Like, it sounds like if AI made an audiobook.
Like, oh my God. Speaking
the
of
moment. We have
we were talking about this a little bit before we started recording, but Tess is listening to Barbara Streisand's audiobook. And how long is it? It's 48 hours long.
48 hours long.
No.
It is.
When an average, what's an average?
I'd say audiobook. A long one. An average one is like 8 hours. I think a long, like a door stopper, is 16.
Yes, yeah, I've seen 16 tops. Yes.
After I get off this call, I am going to put this on, and I am not leaving my place until I finish it.
Jessica, does she read it?
She reads it.
Oh boy!
You guys, first of all, my first question is, what is wrong with me? Because
this is the challenge for you. This is everything you love in one.
Okay, is that book, what's wrong with me?
Love marathons, you love books, yeah. You love Barbara Streisand, you love divas. Of course you want to listen to this.
I do love divas, but before reading this book, I was like slightly positive, but mostly Barbara agnostic. That's why I don't know what's wrong with me. Like,
I'm so glad you're coming to the light.
Oh my God, Jessica.
Literally, nobody is more important or better than Barbara Streisand. I don't think that it's fair that she has to live on the planet with us. I think she
barely does.
She is superior.
Yes.
This is the only thing that I've gotten from it. I saw one tweet about how they were like a few minutes in and they had found out that she loves the feeling of her teeth being clean.
Uh-huh. There's the dentist gets a lot of lip service. Okay. She loves going to the dentist. And like everything. And so, yeah, she reads the audiobook. So like, if you can imagine, I guess I knew that she was like this incredible performer, but even just listening to the audiobook, I'm like, we don't even deserve her. Like, she's so good at reading an audiobook that it's like, every second she's in the moment and she's nuanced and you're, it's like, it's literally as if you're just hanging out with Barbara Streisand. And there's a lot of like, I'd never hear this in an audiobook, but there's a lot of like, Jonesy was there. Can you imagine? There's a lot of like, can you imagine?
Of course, she's riffing her own audiobook.
Kind of riffing. Yeah. There's a
delightful. Delightful.
It's so fucking delightful. And I didn't realize that she was a fucking teenager. Like, you listen to these early recordings of her, like the Bonsoir, and she's a fucking teen.
Yeah,
and
that's
she's
crazy.
Like, her voice is so powerful. And the way she like acts and believes everything she's saying, you're like, I mean, wow.
She doesn't sing in the book, does she?
Hour
not that
five,
far in yet.
Hour what? Five, we heard the first singing.
Wow. Wow.
Jessica, you're going to
downloading
it.
I can't even wait. I'm downloading
I've
it.
Never heard
you know, I have free Audible. Did you know I have free Audible?
And it's free with your Audible because if you don't buy it with Audible, it's like $40, but you can get it with an Audible credit.
I honestly, you guys need to just live. I think you just need to live stream you listening to this book for the.
Oh my God.
We did a 24-hour live stream, and I think that you too should go on the 48-hour Barbara Streisand.
My name is Barbara.
I think we could.
But you need breaks, obviously. You need breaks.
We need breaks. What I'm doing is 2 hours. I've committed to 2 hours a day. I'm going to listen to this book.
Damn.
You guys, the descriptions of coffee, ice cream, there's one part where she's talking about like singing a song to this man. She was like, before she had been in love and didn't really know how to like desire a man, but she had to conjure that feeling up in herself. I think it was in Summer Stock. I mean, there's the Summer Stock. I mean, oh my God. So what she does is she's obsessed with chocolate cake, and she put a piece of chocolate cake off stage to sing to.
Oh, that's genius.
I'd still do that, you know? I mean,
that's a great idea, just to put a piece of chocolate cake like during a stand-up set.
Yeah, right. I've never gotten into an argument with a piece of chocolate cake before. I've never been like, yeah, it's great.
Okay, we've all got we've got some downloading to do. We'll be back in a second, yeah. Everybody.
Because here's the thing. I did go to New York and I saw the girl from Glee do Funny Girl. What's her name?
Lea Michele.
She did a good job, but it's just like, it just made me realize how good Barbara Streisand is because it was just like.
Well, it's it's like the Willy Wonka problem where it's like.
Yes, it's the Willy Wonka problem.
You know, there's only one person who should ever play Willy Wonka and it should never be anyone else. You know,
I agree with that, but I think this is a whole different thing of like everything. It's not because there's other Gene Wilder roles that anyone could probably, you know.
Right.
I love
mean,
Gene
Willy,
Wilder.
I mean, Willy Wonka specifically. I'm just saying that it's like a one you shouldn't and no one else should ever play this.
Right. Like that person is like the whole piece has been kind of built around them.
Timothée is my favorite Willy Wonka, actually. No.
Is that his name, Timothée?
Well, it's like got. There's
Timothy
a lot.
Timothée Chalamet,
but it sounds like Timothée. Like the way I've,
Timothée Chalamet.
The way it's like spelled out because it's got those two E's in the end of it. That feels like it should be given a little something extra.
If he played Willy Wonka only saying his own name the whole time, then I would maybe.
Yeah, Timothée.
He was like,
Chalamet.
Welcome to the Timothée Chalamet room.
Yeah.
Okay, let's. Well, whatever. We're already back, so fuck it.
We're back.
Yeah, you know our voices. Whatever.
Yeah.
We're here with Jessica Seeley, who, by the way, has a brand new comedy album out.
Yeah.
You should definitely go download.
One of my favorite covers. One of my favorite covers in a while, too, Jessica. I really, great, nailed it. Very funny comedy, too, but the cover is, like, fucking great.
Yeah, that's a Kim No Money photograph, and then Blonde Medicine put together the cover. But it was my boyfriend who was like, this picture cropped like this with this kind of font.
Oh, that's great. Aww. That's always nice when someone gives you that input.
Yeah, so he had the eye for what it should be.
Yeah.
He didn't blur you out.
He didn't blur me out this time.
I think you should print it and put it behind the Zoom screen, and that should be the background for both of you guys. Oh. You can wait. You, oh, Jesus. I just sound like a full boomer. You can just use the photo on your computer.
No.
You don't need to print it out as a giant.
Go to Kinko's.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. I forgot you can just drop JPEGs in. Yeah. Whatever.
Okay. But yeah, my album is out and you can stream it. You can buy a cassette.
Yeah.
And, you know, blondemedicine.com has all the links to all the Spotify, Sirius, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever you might need.
And seriously, if you have SiriusXM, listen to the comedy channels on there, specifically the female centered ones, because they feature us. They feature a lot of our guests.
Yeah.
All the time. And you're like directly supporting people when you listen to them on there. So,
yeah,
definitely.
Absolutely.
If you have SiriusXM, get that shit going. Hey, you're helping us out.
Tweet at them too and be like, I would love to hear more of all these people. Make sure they play us more and more. That would be amazing.
It's, it's like, you know, there's a channel called She's So Funny that features female comics. So go do that. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Let's ask Jessica some questions. What do we think about that?
Man, that sounded like a sound drop. That was like a perfect grunt. It sounded like you hit a fucking...
like a Homer Simpson.
Jessica, one bonus question I do before we go in. One barber thing I need to check out as a total basically version.
Yeah, I wasn't ready to move on.
What should I check out?
Oh, what should you check out? Here's the thing. I mean, you're already going to watch Funny Girl. That's like, you're going to love that. But, you know, I think Yentl's kind of a wild ride.
Okay. That's what I was hoping you would say.
Yeah. I think you'll be like, oh my God, what? You know?
Okay, cool.
Wait, you guys, I had to call like someone this morning about like a service thing. And the guy was like kind of flirty with me on the phone, which whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. A fucking phone call, who cares?
Right.
But then he like texted me a follow-up about the service, and then he just wrote in a second separate text, let me know if there's anything I can do to serve you.
Ooh. Damn,
yes.
Dude.
Yes, master.
Yeah. I know. I was like, well, when you put it that way, sure.
Damn. Man, he got a little charge out of writing that. I like it.
Yeah, he did.
That should be customer service. We should just have all the...
Flirts.
The people. Yeah, please.
Put the Trader Joe's people on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, who, what, when, where, why? Let's do it.
Who, what, where, when, who, what, where, when, who, what, where, when, who, what, where, when, why?
I mean, we're basically Barbara Streisand, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Honestly. Yeah, Lea Michele better not try that one, okay?
Okay, Jessica, who did it best?
Did what best?
You can interpret it however you want.
Whatever that question means to you.
Fucking Barbara Streisand.
I was like, we already answered
that.
I mean, what else? Can you imagine me saying something else right now?
Also, I do feel like she keeps, I don't know. I do believe that like the universe conspired for us to have this conversation because I've been trying to talk to people about Barbara Streisand for the last 4 days and everyone's like, eh. And then finally I come across you, Jessica, and it's like, this is what I needed in my life.
I can't wait till she starts talking about her shopping mall and her dog that she clones. She's perfect. She's perfect.
Samantha. She had a dog named Samantha because she was supposed to be named Samantha.
Damn.
I was supposed to be a boy. They were going to name me Spencer.
Oh.
Spencer's
a good name.
Who do you think Spencer would be right now? At like this, if yeah, like what would
he be fucking
like?
A famous comedian?
yeah, Spencer Seely. Yeah, that's a famous.
I mean, your first album would have to be called Spencer's Gifts because, like,
yes.
See, it's all right there.
Damn, man, Jessica.
Well, Spence, it's been great.
So it's my younger brother's middle name.
Oh, really?
Aww.
Yeah.
Aww. I always love it when someone gets the off. They're like, all right, you get the off, the name we didn't use yet.
You get the lefties.
And they went middle instead of like going, because they were like, no, Spencer would have been Jessica's name. So we're not going to give that. We can just throw it in the middle.
And I don't have a middle name because it was hard enough for them to think of Jessica last minute.
Really?
They were like, we were positive you were going to be a boy till you showed up. And it was like, we had a whole name. And now it's like, I guess Jessica, because that's like a name that everyone's naming everyone right now. So
I respect that they didn't throw a Nicole or a Marie in the middle. I feel like that's like 90% of my friends. That's the middle name of our age.
I mean,
I'm a Nicole.
How chuggy are middle names? You know?
Oh, nothing's chuggy.
Very chuggy.
Like, well, because I feel like now most people, if it's more traditional to not, like, for someone to not change their last name, so their kid ends up having both of their names. Like, one is a middle name, basically. You know?
Yeah.
So they have two last names, sort of, instead of a middle name.
I like it as, a shout out to a family member. Like, I like it as, like, a, hey, we're going to put this one out to your dead mom. Like, that's what a middle name is, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
I feel like my middle name is, like, that shirt that I probably should give to the Goodwill, but instead it's just stuffed in the back of my closet, and every 4 years I'm like, oh, you.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because, you know, one of my day jobs is I do decluttering for people, and maybe me not having a middle name like helps me do that.
Yeah. Wow.
Like, I'm already set up to cut the fat, you know?
Oh, my God. Give us some tips. I was just thinking about decluttering on my walk this morning.
Tips how? I mean, here's what I want to say. Hire me. No, what I've been thinking about a lot lately is always make the bed every day. And B, when you take off your shoes, just put them nice and neat. Wherever they are, just line them up.
That's a good call.
And try really hard not to buy anything, honestly.
Yeah, I'm like really, really, really trying to get rid of stuff right now and also not bring new shit in because I'm like, I'm realizing that just the stuff in my life creates like too many barriers between me and like the things I want to do. Mm-hmm. Because I kind of like get obsessed with the stuff, doing something with the stuff instead of working on my goals, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I'm like really trying to shut it down. It's tough because we all know, you know,
yeah,
buying things makes everything feel better. But I was thinking, good tip.
No. I got rid of too much shit. Like, right. I was renting I got rid of a bunch of shit. Like, I did multiple like big cleanses. And I was renting clothes for like a year and a half or 2 years. And then like I stopped doing that. And I am at a point where I'm like, I went to a baby shower and everyone else is dressed like way cuter than me. You know what I mean?
I was at that. I'm not one to talk. I was at that baby shower and the Julia's one.
I couldn't go to Julia's because I was at the.
Oh, show, well, I had the same thing. I was wearing like, I was also on my period though, but I was wearing like my Holy Sublime shirt and like sweats. And I was like, is this insulting to the new life that I'm dressed like this? The new life. Does this have something to say about what I think about the cycle of life? I felt like, you know, when people talk shit about Justin Bieber for being a bad boyfriend to Hailey Bieber because he like will be wearing sweats and stuff. And I was like, that's me. So I can't talk. And like, that's the thing is like, I don't have like a ton of nice clothes. I don't like look nice all the time. So I do think about that when I'm going through people's things. I'm like, I want to set you up so you feel like you have enough stuff to like.
Yeah, all of my stuff is garbage anyway. So it wouldn't matter if I threw it away because I wouldn't have the option.
And here, when you're going through stuff and you get rid of stuff, you might get rid of something that you're like, I kind of still wish I had that. Maybe that was a mistake. But life's about loss, baby. You're gonna miss some stuff. Like, and at the end of the day, we're going to lose it all.
One of the best tips I read recently, which I can't remember what she called these things, but it's basically the stuff that like you've been holding on to forever that you think you might use someday, you know, like smaller items usually. Mm-hmm. And she had this rule that was like the 20 and 20 rule, which is like, if it's less than $20 and you can get it 20 minutes away from your home, get rid of it. Like if you haven't totally. Used it recently, because like there's so much shit we hold on to that it's like, oh, I might need like this fucking, you know, thing of nails I haven't used in 10 years, stuff like that. And it's like, that's the kind of stuff that I feel like I also end up holding on to forever, you know?
Well, that sucks.
And like, if, If you have stuff and you're like, when you're going through stuff, looking at what to get rid of, if your feeling is like, oh, I guess I should keep this, and it feels like a burden. Yeah, yeah. Like,
I think personal attachment. Don't stuff keep is burdens. Too.
Yeah. You
know? Yeah. Or like any clothes. I mean, I guess in some ways I feel like it's some kind of easy for me to get rid of clothes, but like any clothes that's like, if I don't feel cute in this, just get rid of it.
Yeah.
I don't care if it was expensive or someone gave it to me as a gift.
It's not
or
like
whatever.
Serving you.
Like, it doesn't make me happy to wear it.
Right,
this.
Right, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then I realize it doesn't make me happy to wear anything.
I know. I want to be naked, truly. I don't even like, I want to be like, you know, I feel like so much clothes, like almost no clothes fit me. It's almost like no clothing maker has heard of my body before.
Hey, have you heard of this?
God
you
bless.
Heard of this?
Yeah, that's what always makes like when I look at my closet, I'm like, it's just like coddled together shit that I'm like, one thing actually fit me, and that's that's it.
I had my stepmom make a dress for me because I had to go to an Orthodox wedding of my cousins, an Orthodox Jewish wedding, and mm-hmm. it had to be long sleeve and or longish and kind of, you know, not be low cut, and it had to be long and all this stuff. And I was just like, I can't find a conservative dress for my size that doesn't just look like I'm a sack.
Yeah.
Of
love,
shit.
They love or just sack like, at that point. They're like, what about sack?
Or just like weird patterns and stuff. And I was just like, so I had my stepmom make me a dress, and it was just so simple. It was just like one color and just like long sleeves. And I was like, to have one thing that is made to fit me, it makes me feel so much better.
Mm-hmm.
So
do you ever take your shit to get tailored?
No, I should though.
You should. Because that's way cheaper, like to take existing shit and just go to your dry cleaner and have them like tailor it for you.
Totally.
It's way cheaper than getting new clothes.
But that's the thing is I feel like all my clothes are so cheap already that I'm like, am I really going to bring this like $13 shirt to get tailored?
Right.
Every once in a while you get like a nice cheap shirt that lasts for like 20 years.
No, I do keep them forever, things. But yeah.
Like, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
That's the thing is it's like if you like them, it doesn't really matter how much they cost. It's just like get it so it fits you like you want.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. Especially because you spent so little on the actual shirt.
Right. Really I think it's more, again, the shame theory of them being like, can you even touch? Will this disintegrate if you try to, touch this?
That's a look though. You know, then it looks worn in is like a whole vibe.
You're worried that the tailor's going to be like, you want me to tailor this? No, I think a lot of people, I heard that someone that we know gets his band t-shirts tailored.
I mean, smart. Make them fit better.
This is the best gossip we've ever had on
the show. Well, the only reason I didn't say the name is because I'm not sure if I'm remembering who it was. Okay. It's not a big deal. It's just kind of like, I recall that a male comedian got all his t-shirts tailored and he just looks normal, but
yeah,
that's so funny. Do a version of that.
People do it.
I like everything kind of slutty. So like sometimes I'm like, oh, do I hate this shirt or does it just need to be sluttier? And then a lot of times I can just cut it shorter and I like it.
Oh, yeah. Just when in doubt, crop it up.
Yes. Exactly. Always, always.
Exactly. But you guys, I got the best deal. I was at Crossroads last weekend. And I got an Italian leather jacket for $50. Ooh. It's so fucking cute. But I wore it to a show for the first time on Monday night. And I realized then that it smells like cigarettes.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's why.
Yeah, that's why. So I've been in the process. Sean came home the other night and he was like, were you saging? And I was like, yeah, I was saging my leather jacket. Because I was trying to like push that smoke smell out with
right,
sage.
Right, right. Did it work? Oh, it just smell like sage and
it smells like sage and smoke.
Yeah, this smells like this is a gal going through a crisis. You got cigarettes and sage. Just like,
I have a very specific similar issue where I wore my spaghetti and meatballs costume to a Halloween thing that had a campfire, and now my spaghetti and meatballs smells like campfire, and I can't wash that. It's just a shirt full of yarn, so it's gonna smell like campfire forever.
I mean, I guess I don't mind that as much though.
you could hand wash smells. It.
Yeah,
you could hand wash it in a little bucket.
But it's
could Febreze it.
I think Febreze. It's gonna be a Febreze situation, which sure. That'll be the first time I've purchased it.
Dude, Febreze used to be so much better.
Did it ever actually
Febreze
work?
Febreze has really fallen off.
Oh, it worked.
It used to, yeah.
Febreze used to be like, this is for fabrics, and it didn't smell like anything, but it was just like kind of an antibacterial, anti-whatever. It was like, it just pulled odor out. But then they were like, people aren't buying it enough because it doesn't smell like chemical rose garbage or something.
Ugh,
so now it's just like any other air freshener.
It's so true.
It's Febreze, such a tragedy.
I mean, I pity the teens of today, because when I was a teen, we would go out, smoke cigarettes and pot all night. And before you come home, you would just Febreze your whole body.
Totally.
And your parents would not smell the cigs on you. But now the kids can't come in smelling like a fucking public restroom.
Yeah.
Can't be having that.
No.
Man, I was just looking to see if Febreze got bought by somebody and like that's what happened to it. I was trying to figure out what happened to good Febreze, but
like everything
they're
hiding
else, the info.
They just don't put as much money into it. Have you guys heard of shrinkflation?
Yeah. No.
What is happening now, which is basically like because, you know, whatever, everything's expensive and they're shrinking the size of products while still making the same price or more expensive just a little bit. So like someone was talking about this on TikTok with like a Duncan Hines cake box, basically, where the dry ingredients are less, but they have not changed the instructions. So it fucks up the, you know, it's all science, obviously. So it fucks up how the cake is made because it has too much wet ingredients for the dry. So they've changed the ounces, but this price is the same, basically. So they're just making everything slightly smaller. So you can't quite tell, basically, like products, like sizes, but they're still charging the same price.
Great.
So that's fun.
They're doing like the grocery version of like when your paper is a little bit too long. So you change the margin.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yes. But with recipes, which
she was like, I'm a baker who uses this for like a few, you know, recipes, and this is like completely fucks up everything if you don't have the right, you know, thing.
Oh,
so anyway, super fun. Okay, Jessica, what are you having for lunch?
I'm gonna have some soup that I made yesterday.
What kind of soup? I made
some carrot soup with ginger and turmeric. Here's the thing. Okay. It does taste a little like baby food.
Yeah.
Like any kind of pureed soup, it's kind of baby food, actually. Yeah.
Do you get like a crusty bread with it? Or like how do you zhuzh it up?
Yeah, I spent so long making the soup yesterday, like cutting all the carrots. And the thing is, I have a tiny like smoothie blender, so it takes me a long time to blend everything. I have to do it a little at a time.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, I bought one of those pre-made garlic breads. And I was like, this is the best part of the soup is this garlic bread that I just threw in the oven.
Always.
Yep.
I think I'm going to, I do feel, first of all, I love when they talk about a recipe and when the person writing the recipe says, and round it out with some bread.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, thank you. I fucking will. Like everything, nothing is round until it has bread.
Yeah. Everything's a sandwich, actually.
Either deconstructed or not.
I ate like, I ate like, you know, the garlic bread in the bag, right?
Yeah.
I ate like I ate half of the, like it has two loaves
halves,
and I ate one of them. I ate one half.
Standard.
What a great day.
It was really fun. And I was watching Lord of the Rings, which is, that's what I do when I feel too much despair. It does give me hope, you know, because Gandalf, he has so many great things to say.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I just did a big Lord of the Rings watch recently, and it was comforting. Even as a not Lord of the Rings person, it's still like it felt right.
Their friendship is so good.
Yeah. It has some good moments. Like, remember when Sam and Frodo are at Mount Doom at the end, and like everything's like so bleak and like fire's raining from the sky and stuff, and then Sam like sees like a star through the clouds, and then he's like, see, there's still beauty, you know, or whatever. I forget what he says, but it's so nice.
And be like, I'm stressed.
Well, Frodo,
out. Shut up.
Frodo's like too possessed by the ring to even really hear it. He's just like,
Yeah, exactly. I can't get this thing off.
Class.
Yeah, those are good movies. They remind me of like every time there was like a rainy day on vacation growing up or something, we would just put on the director's cut of the Lord of the Rings like all day long.
Oh my God.
It does
feel like rainy day, super season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The extended version.
Yes, tomorrow. The extended versions.
Those are the best ones.
Yeah, they are.
That's when I say Lord of the Rings, I mean extended. They're so much better.
Yeah, you just walk out, you come in. You've seen them enough too that you're like, oh, I can just come in at any point. It's totally. Like, yeah.
I have not gone that far.
It's like the extended ones.
Extended, maybe next time.
Here's the thing, Babs. Let me make a case for this, because you can watch them little bits at a time. I'll take a whole year to watch all of them. I don't care. Just like a half hour or whatever. But the extended ones are so much better paced, and mm-hmm. they have such nicer moments that I feel are so necessary.
Mm. Okay. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah, they're just fun and chill, and it's like watching 10 Shawshanks together over and over again.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, I did watch Grease like 7 times in one day once, so who am I to say anything?
That sounds nice.
Well, I remember a day at my grandma's house once where I literally would just rewind it and watch it again. And I watched it, yeah, like 7 or 8 times in a row. And that is an incredible movie to watch over and over, because there's so much weird shit happening with the background actors totally. That you always catch mm-hmm. something strange going on. And it's fun to...
Like what?
There's just a lot of weird background actor stuff. There's just one dancer who's like always showing up in all of them, and he's like really going for it. And he's fun to watch. There's a lot of mistakes or like people just kind of like doing stupid shit, you know, because I think they just kind of like were like act like high school assholes. And that's kind of what they're doing.
Yeah,
that makes sense. And like it's all musical people. So, you know, they're not going to like.
Well, yeah, this is obviously their moment. So,
yeah,
for sure. Well, it'd be funny to also go back and just be like, oh, I'm going to watch it this time from like Rizzo's perspective and just like really focus on like what her storyline is and be like, if she's not on screen, just like what's happening with Rizzo right now.
I will say that the stage play, Rizzo has a bigger mm-hmm. part.
Yes.
And it kind of is almost like a Jesus Judas show mm-hmm. as a stage show. Like if a good Rizzo... I think we care about her more than Sandy.
Yeah. I remember learning that her name was Stalker Channing, and I just thought that was the coolest name I'd ever heard in my life.
Great name.
It is a cool name. Wait, I have a question, Tess, about the Judas thing. So wait, like Rizzo's like a Judas? Or
I just specifically was referring to like Jesus Christ Superstar, how it's like kind of Judas's like, show.
Right.
It's called Jesus Christ Superstar, but really it's from Judas's point of view.
Right.
Can I tell you guys that I saw this National Geographic special called The Book of Judas, and it was saying that there was a book of Judas that like was left out of the Bible when King James, blah, 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 whatever.
Probably.
But like early mystical Christians had it in their situation. And in the Book of Judas, Judas is like, Jesus and I are actually much tighter than everybody else. And he's always making fun of the other apostles. Like he thinks they're so dumb. And they all hate me because like Jesus actually likes me. Mm. And that in the Book of Judas, it says that Jesus was like, you have to turn me in because you're the only one I trust to do it.
Oh, redemption arc. Damn.
Doesn't that kind of make sense in a way, though?
It does. Yeah.
There's also a Book of Mary that gives mm-hmm. a lot more sort of importance to women. And I don't know why that one would have been cut out. But
no, anything that
probably talked about dresses a lot.
Interesting. Anything with nuance and context.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
She was on her period when she wrote it. So, you know, we can't take what she's saying.
Shopping.
Yeah.
Was she actually a prostitute?
I think
no. She was, I don't think so. She was one of the apostles. I don't think that it ever says anywhere in the Bible that she was a prostitute.
I'm not the person to ask here.
No,
I think that Jesus was friends with prostitutes, but I don't think she was one.
Yeah,
but everyone always says she was one.
Well,
yeah.
Well, people say a lot of things about.
Yeah,
it's just like at some point they were like, she's a whore.
Yeah, basically.
And then
as
now,
as if that's like the biggest insult. Like, okay, yeah, I make money doing what I love. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll never.
Yeah, I'm good, dog.
I mean, yeah, it's funny because I always, I guess whore has whatever, maybe like more negative connotations, but like the word slut, I'm never, I forget that people think of it negatively because I never do. So I'm like, I have so different like a reaction to it. I'm like, oh, I like totally forget that this might not be positive to someone, but I do not think it's.
I know, or like offensive to some people, or like. Or, like, I self-identify as a slut, even though I've been with Sean for, like, 11 years. But I'm like, yeah, I'm a slut. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm a slut.
It's so fun. Yeah.
Just a fun can, word.
Whore does have a little bit more, like.
It's the R.
It's a more tense word overall.
I have this really great memory of childhood, which I have some Jehovah's Witness family members in my extended family. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of, like. There's sort of a divide in the family and people don't talk to people. But anyway, back in the day, everyone was talking to everyone. And we were at Don Jose's and one of my like great aunts who's a Jehovah's Witness or whatever. Do you guys remember Don Jose's?
Is that still like around? A anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a Acapulco? Mexican chain. Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, these girls walk in their halter tops. It's the 90s. I'm a little kid. And my my great aunt stands up and she goes, "Horse, horse, horse."
Oh my God. Oh no.
And it's like one of my favorite memories. And like, I feel like where I learned about comedic timing, because like the girls just like, they heard her and they just like laughed at her. It was just like, it was beautiful. It was perfect.
That is, yeah, whore is like, has the potential to be a little bit more derogatory, but also funnier.
And I like the phrase whoring around.
Yeah.
I like,
yeah.
I like it as an active.
Well, also
verb.
Just horse, horse, horse sounds like a musical song.
Horse, horse. Yeah.
Horse, horse, horse.
Rabbits,
horse.
Rabbits, rabbits.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, honestly, maybe she was pulling a Beetlejuice and she was trying to get them to come over.
I don't know. I don't know, dude. But just the fact that she was so moved to say that. And it's like a running joke in my family.
Oh,
sometimes we just go, horse, horse, horse.
All right.
We got some whoring around to do. We'll BRB.
We're back on Lady to Lady. I'm Babs.
I'm Brandy.
I'm Tess.
Hey, I'm Jessica. I'm Jessica Seeley. Sorry. Yeah.
That's great.
We're going to do some lady problems, shall we?
Yeah.
If you want to send us one, you can write to us at ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com. You can also call us at 323-6-BUT-30.
Lady problems. Lady problems. Do you have them? Lady problems. Do you have them? People have them.
Hi, ladies. This is Diane in New Hampshire. I tried to record this before, but I was a mess. I transplanted here 3 years ago due to COVID and having nothing going on. My family is from this area, and then right now I am living in my late mother's childhood home. She passed quite recently, and I am actively grieving it and sometimes not the best at it. I was wondering, what do I do with the large sum of school money that she left me? I have a bachelor's degree in environmental science and agronomy. I'm also very outspoken, quick, smart, too mouthy for serving or housekeeping, and she was also an audiologist, so I wonder if there's some way that I can incorporate some sort of teaching with translation or some sort of, what sort of degree or master's program do you think would be best? I mean, you hardly know anything about me, but I adore horticulture. I have 5 animals. I have 2 dogs and 3 cats. And also, I just want to thank you guys so much for helping me on this journey with my grief. And I just appreciate you for helping me love myself from the inside and out. Mwah. Love you.
Aww.
Oh, I remember reading the transcription of this and was like, ah, that's so sweet.
I know, it's sweet. Agronomy is the science of soil management and crop production, which I definitely knew before I just Googled it.
Look, I'm not going to say that us talking about horse so much means that you should do more with horticulture, but.
Yeah. Wow. Meant to be. Okay. Meant to be.
Excuse me. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, do you really want to go back to a master's program? I guess it's like, you know, I think it's like, do you, if you don't feel like you have to, if you don't necessarily want to or not either, it sounds like you have a lot of like, I don't know anything about these fields, but I'm like, you have a lot of like on hand skill sets. And like, if you want to start your business, like maybe this is like, or something like that, maybe this is money that's more of like, you know, capital to start something for yourself too. You know,
it sounds like she was looking for like kind of a creative idea too, potentially, of like, I don't know, there was something about teaching and like, like having some kind of program or, I don't know, like, is there some kind of,
well, I wonder if like, while you're living there, are there community gardens or something like that, that you could teach classes or anything at? While you're kind of, because I don't think this is a decision you need to make like immediately, you know, while you're dealing with a house and you're dealing with, you know, grieving and stuff and figuring out that next step, like, you know.
Yeah, I think there's no rush. I mean, selfishly, we need more people who give a shit about the environment. So if that's your vibe, the planet definitely needs you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that's a great instinct. And like, if you are going to get an advanced degree and you, I don't know, you like teaching and you like animals and you like the environment, like maybe there's something to some kind of program where you can get all this like expertise and like things that are, in, you know, sustainable farming or sustainable whatever. And then you can be the person that like goes into farms and like teaches other people how to be sustainable. So like maybe there's something there.
I'm also imagining some kind of like online community, like a Patreon where it's like, and then some sort of TikTok or something that grows. That's like, you know, first I had 10 people and I just like gave them something to do every week for the soil around their area. And this week I was like, dump your menstrual blood on your parklet in front of your apartment. And
I think Jessica's pitching her own series. But if you have ideas for that one, maybe
think about it. Because, like, basically,
no one
right,
else is doing it. I'll say that.
Yeah,
the soil kind of everywhere is sort of getting fucked up because we're just not taking care of the soil. So I like this mass grassroots movement idea.
Mm-hmm. Have you thought about making your animals famous online?
Oh, I love
that. Might
animals
be a good play mist, a good place to start, because then you can then use that platform to share this. But feels like getting animals famous is an easier path than people or women with opinions at this point, actually. So
I feel like, I mean, yeah, obviously, again, I know literally nothing about anything that you do, but I am getting farm vibes. That's all I can say is I, you know,
farm vibes for sure.
Yeah, like, farms, I don't know if a rest. Well, yeah, of course, it's very hard.
Yeah, yeah.
Not going to be an easy path by any means. But I maybe if that's something you want to explore, then yeah, it is about visiting people who, you know, have rescue farms, have whatever kind of things that you might be interested in, seeing if that's like a realistic thing for you, joining in, partnering with other people. It does seem like, I think overall, like we're saying, is this is a time of like exploring, and you don't need to make a super solid choice, but you can kind of explore a few different things. Like, you know, one of my friends who is a friend of the show and is getting her PhD, she took a break and wasn't sure if she was going to go back for it, you know, because she was so sick of school and stuff. But then she just realized, like, no, this is the thing I need to do. And so I think that it's good to take a little time away and just like remember if that's the thing you want. Because when you're so close to it all the time, and again, like we said, when you're grieving, you're going through a huge like life change, and it can be really hard to make a choice like that. But if you're kind of living and like exploring these different arenas, then maybe it'll like make itself a little bit more known, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Easier. But also I would say, just to the other point of view there, is like, don't, like, I think it can be easy to get dragged down by indecision. Not that you need to make a big decision while you're grieving, but I don't know how long she's been out of school.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. My kind of read on it was like she has been out of school for a while and now has this money and is like wanting to go back to school with it.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know.
Is there a community college nearby? Maybe there's like, I don't know. See if there's like a couple like just like little one-off classes that you could get yourself back in the mode and maybe think about where you want to go or something. Like, I don't know. Because usually it's a master's is like, it's not going to be necessarily in that same vein necessarily. Like it could be like you have this agronomy degree, but now you need one in like business or like a different kind of science to like build on it towards something. So maybe it's like just taking a couple like general classes or something that don't feel like a big deal, just to be like, all right, do I like this? Mm-hmm. To kind of figure out that next step. Also, I think it's like if there are people that you're like, oh, I like this job, or I like what this person is doing, like reach out to them and be like, hey, can I like Zoom you a cup of coffee or like something like that? Like I think I found a lot of help for me with different things by just being like, hey, can I like pick your brain for a minute about like how you got where you got? Like, can we talk about this or whatever? And I think like, you know, that might give you the pros and cons of some of the different directions that you could go with all of this, because there's a lot that you could do. So,
yeah. And I would also say like two things. I've not watched this movie, but my hippie aunt, who I'm very similar to, is obsessed with it. It's called The Biggest Little Farm.
Mm-hmm.
It's a documentary about some people that were living in New York and they got kicked out of their apartment because their dog was too big. So then they moved out to Moore Park, California and started a farm. And now they grow their own honey and have their own soil and it's all super sustainable. Mm-hmm. Maybe check that documentary out. And also, like, I would just say, like, don't, like, you kind of have this, like, blessing from your mom. Like, you have this money that she gave you. It's sort of like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity and your mom really set you up. Like, you have the means to kind of make your life what you want it to be. And I would say, like, don't, like, figure out what you want to do first and, like, fuck how hard it's going to be. Like, first decide what you want to do and, like, don't get caught up in, like, oh, that's going to take a while or that's a really competitive field or no one's ever done that before. Like, that's all, like, your inner saboteur coming up with reasons why it's not going to happen. Like, so start from a place of like, what do you want? What's going to like light you up every day and get you excited to wake up and like make you feel like I fucking like ended this day better than I started it. And then just trust that you're going to figure it out, especially because you have these resources to do whatever you want to do. So I guess that like would be my general advice is just like start with your dream and then just trust that you're going to execute it.
Dang. You guys give good advice, man.
Thanks, Jessica.
Truly.
Hell yeah. All right, we've got one more. It's written in. I can read it. Let's see. Let me make it bigger so I can actually see it. Jesus Christ. Okay. My partner and I have been sleeping apart for the last few weeks, and it's making me feel very disconnected from him. I've talked to him about it, and he's been sleeping in the guest room so he can get full and uninterrupted sleep while going through a busy training period at work. I understand that, but I'm also worried that this will become a new normal in the relationship. I know he's a very light sleeper, and I toss and turn a lot. Of course, these are things we cannot change about ourselves, but now I feel bad that I've almost certainly contributed to his poor sleep for the 2 years we've lived together. I want him to be fully rested, but there's a big part of me that really misses us sleeping together. I feel safer and less anxious when he's there. It almost feels more like a roommate situation now than a partnership. This has been an amazing relationship, so I'm scared this means we are incompatible in this way. Is this a sign that things are going downhill? Are we destined to live a life out of a 50s TV show sleeping in two separate twin beds? Am I overthinking this?
That's the question. Yes, is the answer.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's tough. Yeah, you feel it's weird to not wake up next to your partner, you know, if you're used to that. But I think the number one thing to me first that's jumping out is to really try to let go of feeling bad about Pat's 2 years. I mean, that's gone. That has nothing to do with what's going on, you know, right now.
Exactly.
So,
and it doesn't sound like the boyfriend said that.
No.
It sounds like he's just like stressed out and really trying to make sure he has is fully like awake for these training things. We all know training sucks. You have to like really be present.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a temporary situation. You know, I think if he seems like he wants it to be, you know, not temporary, then that's like a different discussion to have. But for now, I think I would just, you know, try to write it out and remember that, like, you guys are together and it's not, try not to take it too personally, I guess.
Like, yeah. I think that he should, like, she should feel comfortable asking him to sleep in there. Like, he can have training every day, right? Like,
yeah, probably.
Like, Friday nights, weekends.
Yeah, like, weekends. Yeah. Can he sleep there? Like,
they need to have, like, couch snuggle time. And, like, mm-hmm. it's about getting that cuddle hormone, that, mm-hmm. like, that bond. And also, like, I'm a really light sleeper. And if my boyfriend is, like, snoring or something, I shake him and I say, how could you? So that works for us. And then he rubs my shoulder and I fall back asleep.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he has to subdue my grumpy middle of the nightness. So maybe if you guys are sleeping together, you can say, like, hey, if I'm tossing and turning or something, just, if you sleep easy and we'll fall back asleep easy, just say, like, wake me up. Like, I have things where I'm like, I know if I turn him on this side, he'll chill out. Or, like,
mm-hmm.
sometimes when he, like does those, you know how people, like, kind of flail a little when they're sleeping? Like, when he does that, I'm like, can you go, like, on a run tomorrow or something? I think you have, like, too much adrenaline. And that seems to work.
Oh, like, that's good. You know,
like, maybe you need to exercise or stretch or
like, go for a pre-bed walk.
Yeah. I mean, also, what's his, I don't know. You know, obviously we can't solve his, like, light sleeping completely here, but what is he doing? Right. Like, is he, you know, is he lying there with his, does he have racing thoughts? You know what I mean? Cause, like, for me, that's an issue when I can't sleep.
Right.
Is that something he can work on, you know, as far as listening to a sleep podcast or exercising or, you know, doing something with his body that's helping him? Because if he's not, if, you know, at the end of this training stuff, if he's not working on that, then I think that is a thing. Like, that is something that he should.
Yeah.
It sounds like, both of you can have better sleep hygiene. He can make sure that he's not looking at, like, I cannot look at screens before I go to bed. Like, I have to have an hour at least where I'm just reading a book. Mm-hmm. And, like, I cannot, like, eat before I go to bed. It really has. And I'm like, my boyfriend likes to read the news before, as he falls asleep. And I'm like, do not tell me what you're reading. I cannot process heavy shit right before I fucking fall asleep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So these are things I feel that can be worked on, the sleeping together situation. And also just making sure you're getting lots of good cuddles and kisses during the day.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And, like, I feel like there are couples that live in different states. I mean, this is not, like, insurmountable. Like, it might just be you guys' situation that you sometimes need to sleep in different beds. And, like, if the rest of the partnership is good, you guys are going to find a way around it. And, like,
yeah,
I like to do, this is so corny, but I like to do yoga before bed with Sean. And, like, if we can, and, like, I don't know if I've recommended it on here before, but she's super popular. The Yoga with Adrienne on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Fucking love Yoga with Adrienne. And she has, like, everything from, like, 15 minutes to 40 minute classes. And she has, like, special bedtime ones. And, like, maybe that's something you guys could do together that would, like, help you relax, get you in your body. Maybe you can fuck, then go to the, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I do think, like, having some kind of, like, physical intimacy right before bed, just because you're not maybe literally sleeping in the same bed, doesn't mean that you need to give up the idea of being, like, physically intimate and relaxing together.
No, totally.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was saying, there are people that, like we have friends that, like, sleep in separate rooms often from, you know, a lot of their partners because they're on different schedules or things like that. Or, you know, or they're just like, I get hot or something, you know? And it's like, you make a point. It also could be fun to be like, hey, I mean, knock on your little door, come over.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I'll see you later. Like, it's, you know, it doesn't take away, it doesn't mean that there's a lack of intimacy necessarily, you know?
At the same time, if you're, like, someone who loves sleeping with someone and the relationship goes on, like, a year and you're, like, unhappy with the amount that you're sleeping together, then that's, like, a discussion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
For sure.
But, like, I would give everything a year. Like, a year is a timeline to analyze a relationship chunk, or maybe 6 months. Like, 2 weeks. What is 2 weeks? That's not a good enough sample size of how things are going.
That's a good point.
Yeah. I mean, I will say that me and Adam, like, it's not happening as much lately, but I'll go through bouts of really bad, you know, sleeplessness. And I do have to leave because he can't sleep. Like,
yeah.
So we do sleep separately sometimes.
Because he can't sleep?
Yeah, he can't sleep because I'm like rolling around. And like, if I'm awake, gotcha. It's hard for him to sleep. Yeah. I do sleep separately from him sometimes. Or like, I'll just come home late and not want to bug him. And I'll just sleep, you know, downstairs. But... So it is like, it does happen. It's definitely not like a weird thing for couples to do. You know, and so I think, you know, aside from all the stuff, it's just observing like, is this all that's going on? Do you have other issues with things? Like, is there not enough intimacy between you guys just throughout your regular relationship? Because that's other stuff to talk about, you know, and maybe just think like, is there something else going on here? Or is it just this?
But like, congrats on having a guest room.
Yes.
Wow.
That part. Wow.
Yeah. Drag much. But good luck. Try. Yeah. I mean, I know overthinking is super easy, but I think you'll be okay.
Maybe use it as an excuse to buy a new pillow.
Yeah. Get
it.
I don't know.
Body pillow. Put his face on it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Heating pads.
I mean, that is the other thing too. Like, if you really are getting shitty sleep without him being there, like that is something you can work on. Like, you should be able to sleep alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like when I travel to have a little heating pad and I turn it on low because the warmth of it kind of gives me that comfort.
Ooh, mm-hmm. That's nice.
Yeah, that's nice. I like that.
I'm having a thrashing problem. I've been thrashing so bad in my sleep lately that I'm like ripping the fitted sheet off.
Oh no.
It's really annoying because it's like in the middle of the night, what I'm going to like, Sean's already on the bed. So what am I going to, I can't like do that. And like once it happens, I just have this like naked mattress.
Yeah.
You're just getting like rolled up into the sheet.
Yeah.
I think you need to do more day thrashing.
I do a lot.
Tess
of
does a, yeah.
I do a lot.
This is a lot of deep thrashing.
Like full blown thrashing?
I don't think Tess can do more thrashing. It could be bad
for
her.
Dude.
Yeah, I'm mostly thrashing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you know, if you're a thrasher, that's okay.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
But I relate. I understand. That's why when I travel with you girls, I'm like, you guys all share a bed if you want, but like.
Yeah. Yeah, we let Tess have the one queen.
Thrash.
Tess is tall and she thrashes. So
I'm a tall thrasher. Yeah, I can't believe I got someone to marry me. Like,
I imagine you're like cheerleading. Like you're having like a cheerleading dream and you're like, okay.
Yeah.
Or I feel like maybe what I just did was the Elaine. Like maybe
you're Elaining in bed. Yes.
Yeah. 1,000%. A bedtime Elaine.
Oh, well, Jessica, thank you for hanging out with us and solving problems with us.
Thanks for having me. I never wanted this to end.
Aww.
Oh, it's not. We're going to.
You know what's not going to end is Barbara's book that you're going to go download.
Yeah, that's we're going to start though. That immediately after this.
I'm going to text. I'm going to text you the live text as please, I'm Jessica, listening to it.
I can't wait. I'm so glad.
Test
audio. This. Audio messages.
Please. Keep them coming.
Well, tell everyone where they can follow you online, Jessica, and buy your album and all the fun stuff.
I guess following me like on Instagram is not a bad idea. It's just at Jessica Seely. S-E-L-E is the spelling of Seely. And, you know, get my album if you just like listen to albums online, whatever. Hey, check it out. You know, I wrote these jokes for you.
Yeah.
Damn straight.
The album's called Weird Vibes. And thank you for bringing your weird vibes to us. On the show.
Thank you for having my weird vibes.
We love you.
Love you.
All right. Bye, everybody. See you later.
Bye.
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 3, 2, 3, 6 but 30.
It's 6 but 30 somewhere.
Hi, ladies. I just wanted to comment on an episode that I was listening to. I think it's called The Gift of the Airbrush. But anyway, Babs was talking about not wearing a Guns N' Roses shirt in front of children. And let me just tell you, when I was a kid, it was like the early 90s, and my parents had just divorced in recent years. And my dad had this dumpy bachelor pad apartment at the time. And in my bedroom, I was about 5 years old, he had hung a Guns N' Roses poster on the wall, with tacks, no less, because, you know, we were classy like that. But yeah, that was the decor for my bedroom. Never have I been a Guns N' Roses fan, but it was hanging on the wall. But you know what? I turned out fine. I am an adult with a master's degree, so I turned out okay. So basically what I'm saying is, Babs, you wear that Guns N' Roses t-shirt around the kids. They're going to be fine. Have a nice day, ladies. Bye.
Hi, ladies. This one's for Brandy. Man, Brandy, I'm always like, for some reason, I'm always in step with you. Like, something that just happened on your most recent episode. You have, oh crap, I forgot the title, but you have a comic that's on from Tennessee, and you were talking about being from, traveling through Tennessee and asking. She said she was from Knoxville, and you said you stopped in Memphis, to go to the National Civil Rights Museum. And before you said it, I was sitting here working at my desk, and I go, oh yeah, to cry, you take a day to cry. And you said, like, all day to cry. I'm dying. I went there last year and I sobbed like a child. It's a wonderful, wonderful exhibit and museum. But yeah, and I just wanted to shout out to Brandy because I'm just always right there with you, girl. Always.
Lady to Lady is produced by Katie Levine. Get tons of bonus content, discounted tickets for live shows, and lots more at patreon.com/ladytolady.
Follow us on Instagram at @lady2ladycomedy and give your input on lady problems and get info about upcoming live shows.
And hey, don't forget to follow our individual accounts on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Babs Gray, Brandazzle, and Testify Barker. Follow Lady to Lady on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen so you don't miss an episode.
If you like what you hear, you can rate and review the show.
Visit exactlyrightstore.com to purchase Lady to Lady merch.